Yeah. So let's pray. Ah, Lord, we are just so very grateful of your love and your forgiveness and your majesty. There's just so much awe in this world, and we just thank you that you love us and that you call us your children, which is an amazing thing. And Father, we just want to give you praise and honor and glory. And I pray that on Sundays that we really try to bring honor to your name, and that it just is to your honor. And again, we want to make sure that it's pleasing to the people that are attending, but mostly, Father, we want our worship to please you. And God, we just want to commit our lives to you when we read your word and your scripture and when we talk with each other. And I just hope that we try to conform our lives to your will. When we read things in your word, that we change our lives accordingly. I pray that we challenge each other with your word to be the men that we need to be. God, we thank you for our families, for our wives and our children. And I just pray that we'll be the men that we need to be for them. And we thank you for this church and what a wonderful congregation this is. And it's impacted so many people. And I just pray that we continue to do so. And that, again, as leadership, we have a vision for what we can do in this community through your power and through your spirit. And again, Father, just sharing the good news that you're a God of love and forgiveness. And we just thank you for that. It's in Christ's name I pray.
Father, we pray for the next MX minister that we choose to hire, and we ask for clarity in the decision. We, Father, sometimes think that we know best, and then sometimes we get surprised. And I pray that through your spirit that we'll be able to make a decision. Decisions seem to create divisions sometimes, and we pray that our church will honor whatever decision is made, and yes. that people yes. will not feel that they've not been listened to or heard or whatever, but help us to be able to hold the body together to take the next steps that you would have us do.
Amen.
We simply ask for you to guide us in those steps, and in the name of Jesus, amen.
Father, I pray for our mission that we have to welcome others into a growing relationship with you and your Son. And Father, forgive us for being distracted from that. And Father, just in all the things that we do at work, in our neighborhoods, at the store, that we can always keep that foremost on our minds and just how we can be gracious to people, how we can be friendly, and just always looking for that opportunity to be able to offer people some of your grace, whether it's by just a smile or helping them or just inviting them to visit our church, to come to a study, or whatever you opportunity you put before us. And Father, just with all the different ministries, which we could list them all, there's many of them, I just pray that that will be foremost on each of those ministries, is reaching out and inviting people to be in a relationship with you.
Yes.
And again, as elders, I pray that you will show us how we can do a better job of that. And sometimes with some of the details of church stuff, we get distracted, and forgive us for that, and help us to do, help me to do a better job with that. In your Son's name I pray, amen.
Father, I am so amazed at the staying power of your word. As I think about those 12 men in the first century and how you entrusted the work to them, and the work that they've done, their boldness, their perseverance, and generations after them is the reason that we're sitting here today. And so grateful for that, for their dedication and commitment to you. And Father, as I think about my own life, I realize sometimes I do fall short of that. And I just thank you so much for your patience and mercy with me. And Father, as I sit here and think about just your wisdom and your creation and how the next generation, how you just made them in such a unique way to where they can be very receptive of your word. And we know, Father, that's a critical part of life, that formation in so many ways, and most importantly, of your word. We know that the next gen that you've entrusted with us, we just pray that we can be good stewards, that mm-hmm. we not be sideline players, but we actively involved in the next generation and, mm-hmm. and encourage them to seek you and how wonderful you are.
That's
and
right.
how worthy you are
That's
for
right.
them to seek you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. God, we call out to you as we think about your prayer as you were getting ready to leave, and you prayed that we may be one, God.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that you didn't pray for us to be uniform and be exactly the same. You prayed for us to be unified and to have one thought, one mind, God. And we just ask you to bless our congregation and help us to work towards that.
Mm-hmm.
God, we know that there are lots of divisive spirits all around us.
Mm-hmm.
Whether to be part of religious things or political things or just the evil ones work around us, God. And we ask you to bring blessing on our congregation that we can let a unified front go out so that
yeah.
it can bring peace amongst
mm-hmm.
the brothers and the sisters,
Amen.
But also bring us in unity with you.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, we exist to glorify your name and to live for you. Thank you for saving us and the grace and forgiveness that we enjoy. And help, we ask, Father, for your help and a growing ability for this body to share that, share the grace we enjoy and the forgiveness and the purpose we have in our lives, really being more evangelistic.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go outside of our routines to do that. We just have to be willing to speak of you, to bring you up, to mention that you are our hope, that you are our purpose, that living for you works, and why, and invite people here to learn more about that and to see it on display.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pray that our body will embrace that mission of welcoming folks, whether they're like us or very different from us, that you are for them, and help us to have a voice that brings you up and mentions your name and just
mm-hmm.
shares the reality of how good you are.
Yes.
And that will draw people to this place and to you. Help us be good at doing that and being hospitable. That initiative coming up, we pray, will be fruitful
yes.
and welcoming folks
mm-hmm.
To your work here and from the neighborhoods around here. And help our events be successful in drawing people in, that there's something different here, and it's you that's,
mm-hmm.
that's making the difference.
Yeah.
And so we ask your blessing on those efforts and success. And may our next choice of a lead minister be conducive to that effort. And whatever form that needs to take, we pray for that positive influence
mm-hmm.
From that position, and the children's ministers that we'll be talking about. We praise you, God, for the purpose you give us, and thank you for who you are, who
yes.
you call us to be.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, you've told us that people will come to know you by the love we show to one another, and we just pray, Father, that as a church we can learn to do that more and more. As we come together, we want to lift up to you tonight people that are on our hearts because they're hurting or ill, or just please just beg that your blessings will pour on them to heal them, to bring them back to their health. Pray for Betty as she's found out some news that can be very alarming and distressing, and just pray that you'll give her peace and comfort as she goes to the doctor, and just we pray that that will turn out to be nothing or very manageable, and just bless her. She is such a wonderful woman of you, Father, that she just has done so much for this church, and just pray that you will give her peace and bring healing. For Arstine, another strong woman of faith who has for years and years and years served so many people and brought so many people, and just pray for her health, that she'll be able to come home soon and recover from the surgeries that she's had and return to her normal life. For our brother Jerry, who's just had an incredible amount of pain, just pray that you'll continue to help him, to bless him with the right doctors and the people that can help him and help restore his health so he can get back to his normal daily activities. And we just love him and Brenda so much. Please continue to bless them. And for our expectant moms, Whitney and Hannah, and just pray that you'll bless them as they continue in their pregnancies, and that you'll bring very strong children as they are born. Protect the moms and the babies, and just pray that they will just have good deliveries and good recoveries. Grateful for Alexandra and Daniel and just their new baby, and just pray that you'll bless them as parents now as they move to really focus on raising that child to be your child, and bless them in their home as they continue to grow. I ask these things in Jesus' name.
God, be with the young men in our church and the middle-aged men in our church. Be with the ones who have an ability. Help them to have the courage to step up and find their work within our church. To be, God, bring them in and use this work to make them deeper connected to this church, to make them part of this family. God, be with Matthew and Cass and Jason and Greg. They're fathers and their husbands, and they're Christians, and we can see in them you, and we can see your hand in their lives. God, please help us find a way that they can use that. And God, be with Barb and Betty and Joyce and Beth. God, thank you for their courage to speak up when they see a truth that they feel needs to be said. Mm-hmm. Help them to see each other as the sisters in Christ that they are, mm-hmm. to treat each other with love and mm-hmm. respect, genuine love and respect, mm-hmm. and to have the durability to withstand criticism and find the kindness in each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One more. And God, I just pray for Ross and Jeff McGlone. We just appreciate these guys, and I know they've been sitting in for a while, and we just ask that your spirit be with them. And Father, just bless their families and just help them as they try to mature into what the next steps may be, if they'll be elders or whatever. We just really appreciate their being here and helping us through these tough times. And again, just bless these men. And I also want to just pray again for John and Katie Gunter and Jason and Megan Mundy, and that you give them peace, that your spirit be with them and help them to have clarity the same way we're looking for clarity, that you help guide them. That, Father, we want your decision for this church to work well, just for the church, but also for these young men. And Father, for wherever they end up, if they don't come here, we just pray that your spirit continues to work mightily in them at the churches where they serve. And we just want to pray for your churches wherever they are. And we want to encourage all the ministers that we've talked with, and we want to thank you for them. And Father, again, I just want to raise up the others that are on our prayer list, and there's just so many people that just need help. And I just pray as a church that we can be there for them, and that we can pastor them and walk beside them as they try to deal with life, which can be very difficult. And Father, just be with us tonight. And again, give us wisdom, but mostly give us humility, and to continue to bow before you in your will. Amen.
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 Thanks, guys.
Okay, before we go any further, I'm constantly thinking about what to do on Sunday mornings. What if on January 5th, our first Sunday, during the sermon time, we all just got up there, we sat in a circle, well, halfway circle facing the church, and just pray like this? Just think about it.
You put some people to sleep.
Pardon me?
It'll put some people to sleep.
Well, so does preaching.
Yeah.
True.
But as we were praying, I thought, and each of us have this specific thing we do, and this was good.
I think having a dialogue would be better from the standpoint of communicating with the church and maybe even giving them a chance to ask questions. That could blow up. I mean,
yeah. Well, and I'm not, and I'm even talking, you know, praying for unity, praying for the people that are sick, and even have a chance for them to send up things that they want us to pray about. But even the things that we prayed about here for our mission, all of that.
Yeah.
You know, by that point, we'll already have a minister, I hope. But anyway,
Or it'd be good, you know, you can have a couple songs and a couple prayers, a couple more songs, a couple more prayers, but something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I for worship, I don't know that I like a dialogue. You know, for class time, I think so, but I think worship's a little different. But lots to think about. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and again, I'm scheduled to preach that morning, so I'm not trying to get out of preaching, really. Although, and I had an idea about that too, but anyway. So, but I thought this would be just kind of it would let the people know, as we go into this new year, we want prayer to be important, and then the things they'll hear us praying about, I think that'll be good. So anyway, think about it.
Who's preaching this Sunday?
Dave.
Oh, okay. Hey, it's your turn.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Ungiving. Yeah, I'm working on it. Yeah. I will probably take the first 5 minutes to do a budget update.
Okay.
And then some of what you sent me was very helpful about giving some articles material.
I sent him a bunch.
Proverbs has some pretty good wisdom stuff in there about giving and how to accomplish that. And then I thought maybe a few things about what Jesus had to say about giving and the attitude. So that's kind of where that's going to go.
Good.
I was thinking about it some at Thanksgiving, where you got this big table. And if you wanted to eat it all, you'd be glutton. I mean, it'd be clear that's just gluttony. But we do that with our money. You know, God's given us all this, and we want to eat it all. And, you know, it's the same thing, but we just don't see it.
So I wanted to ask you just briefly, with scripture references I'm going to do, is it best if I type those out on a PowerPoint or do it in NIFL?
So the easiest would be is if you want to just send them to me ahead of time or Kaylin, Kaylin and Nathan, and we'll get it in there. If it's only going to be verses, if there's going to be slides, then you can send us the PowerPoint slide of that, however you want it to look.
Okay.
But verses, it's easier to send us the reference, and then we can just drop it in there.
Okay, good.
And it flows a little bit better. We ran into issues with one, with Jason's, was Jason's or John's, they had put it in as a picture, and they put it in and it was too small, and so then we had to get them to go fix it and put it bigger, and then it was like all this extra work for us and him as we tried to mesh the two of them together.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier.
Good.
If it's just verses.
Jesus never had that problem.
He did not. He just did it like a
flannel graphs. He used sock puppets and flannel graphs.
Like in Daniel, where they throw up the words on the wall. And,
yeah.
He just.
Is that when worms eat your brains?
No, it was like, well, that's what happened to the guy.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, if we've got to spend much time, you know, thoughts about candidates and next steps, because again, we're going to get together Saturday. And so this week, again, hopefully all of us are praying, hopefully the congregation's praying. We're still trying to get feedback. And I've summarized Jason's and sent that out. I'll do the same with John's. But, you know, you probably, guys are probably hearing the same thing, that it's like a neck and neck tie. You know, it's real close, and I think in a lot of people's minds. And I think there's maybe been one or two people that was, one of them said, no, not him. One of them said, no, not him. But, you know, for the most part, it's like, I think Don said it, you know, two good people to pick from. So it's a good problem to have. Yeah, we still need to pray, and again, it's going to impact their families, and we need to be praying for their families as well, and how we go forward. And I think that's the other thing is elders, is what would we want, what would our expectations be from these people? Let's say we want to bring somebody on. You know, we need you to preach once a month, we need you to preach here, you know, be here a week a month, or you know, we need somebody here by May, by June, or whatever. We just need to kind of understand that as well, because Saturday we get together, and then hopefully a couple days after that we'll make an offer. And when we make an offer, we're going to have to be able to, you know, detail those, that type of information.
I don't think, well, like what John said, he can be here pretty quick. Like with Jason, I think we have to let him decide what works for him, because there's some non-negotiables there for him with foster child,
right,
his wife.
And I'm not going to say that's not correct, but if there are non-negotiables for us. So
yeah.
The other side was, so like John was looking out down Manchester for houses, and you said, well, maybe we should require him to move closer. So are there things we should say, mm-hmm, you know, where you live or when you come here?
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, we should be able to put those out. And then my move can discuss it and say, yeah, let them live where they want or let them come when they want. But I think we just need to figure out what those parameters are.
But it'd be hard to put those parameters in when it's more expensive to live here than it is out there. I think it is. And I don't think we can put that. I think we can say, boy, I know one thing I've said to a couple of them, it was really nice when you lived very close to the right building. It was good for your family.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I would say you could, we could require anything. Now, they may not accept anything, but we should be able to require anything. Now, whether that's judicious or not, but, mm-hmm, so what are those things that we have to have? Mm-hmm. So let's say Jason says, I'm not going to come till October of next year. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no, we can't wait till October. So, I mean, there's got to be,
yeah,
some reasonable, no, if you don't come by June, and if you're not here once a month, you know, mm-hmm, and you know, again, being as close as these guys are,
yeah,
you know, is that a deal breaker for us? And so I think we just need to come to terms with whatever those are. And I'm not saying I know what those are, but hopefully each of us have something that would be a deal breaker.
And I think, though, that John is, so we're already in December. So John said that he could do the end of the year, the beginning of the next year, if the kids could get to school here in time. So the later that we wait, he's going to end up being May as well. So if we tell him the last week of December, hey, we want to hire you because this other guy didn't take it, we're also sitting at May then.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't have time to sell his house, he doesn't have time to do anything. I mean, he could come up to a point, but it's going to be a lot harder for him in coming up quickly if we go too late in December.
And then you, I guess, looking at John, he tells his elders the end of December he's leaving in June, they may say, man, we can't have you here that long if you're going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
It could be he would.
He's not going to have a job probably. If he,
yeah,
he's going to, once he tells them,
yeah,
it's probably going to be fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So he may, you know, be the easier one to get up here quicker. But yeah, and again, we just have to understand in our minds what is it that we would want, you know, as a higher end congregation. Yeah. And so hopefully there is a list of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know any other thoughts on this before we pray this week.
But I think Jason said if he was to come, it would be May or June, didn't he?
Yeah. It was about school for Megan. So yeah. Like when she got her thing finished, the college year ends around May. So mm-hmm. really right around that time, they could be sort of ready to yeah. come. The same way that Jason said, or that John said.
Right. So what he said is their family would be ready by then. You asked him, thinking outside of the box, would you be willing to come up here on a Sunday a month or something like that? And yeah. he said yes. So the family, right, but when would he be willing to come up here? And can we get him up here for a 10-day stretch or, you know, one Sunday a month? So
just with a child that young at home, having him for a weekend is going to be a lot easier than getting him for a week or...
Yeah.
All right, I don't disagree, but again, the question is, what is it that we want?
Yeah, well, so I'd say our minimum and our goal.
Right.
Our minimum, yeah. we might want to be willing to accept if he can only come once a month on a Sunday or for a weekend or whatever. That as minimum, what we might ask him is a lot more than that.
Right. Because in my head, he needs to spend a couple days with the staff or at, you know, just getting to know us, right? You know, because he could be here every Sunday and come in here and he'd still be as green as can be in June. But, so anyway, we just have to think through that because I think he needs to at least spend 3 days, you know, or maybe 2 days, Sunday, Monday, but yeah, whatever. We just need to kind of think what that would be.
Yeah.
When and where are we meeting Saturday?
I thought it was going to be here.
Here?
And we can probably do the offices if we wanted to do the offices because smaller location and nobody's here usually.
Unless there's basketball.
There's only two people that usually are here on Saturdays, me or Steve, so we'll be here.
Yeah. So yeah, if basketball isn't too bad, that's fine.
Yeah.
We can always play.
There shouldn't be a basketball on Saturday, I don't think.
I don't think there is.
Okay.
No pickleball either.
Nothing that I remember. And then that way, even if there's anybody else in the building, they wouldn't happen upon us. is easy if we're down there.
And what time are we meeting?
Was it 9 or 10?
I thought it was 9.
That's okay. What I was thinking.
Can we make it 8 o'clock? Because I have to go pick up my brother and take him to a nursing home for respite in the afternoon.
That works for me, but he's probably one that's got the longest.
What time?
He wants to meet here 8 a.m.
Or 8:30.
Well, I don't mind getting up early.
Okay. I'm up 5 o'clock regardless, so that'll work for me.
So, Steve, is that?
Yeah, it's good. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock okay. Saturday. Okay. All right, so lots to pray about there. And again, you know, kind of make a list of things, you know, depending on who the candidate is, what it would look like that transition. Mm-hmm. So then it goes to Steve Walker.
Can I just touch on a couple things of
the
candidate? So we're going to do some background check. You know, Elizabeth was out today, so we're going to start some of that stuff tomorrow. I think the police background check is our standard, is what we've done. So just want to throw this out there. So when we were looking at children's ministers, we decided, hey, let's look at the Facebook account of one of them. And a couple of things came up that caused us to maybe have a little more discussion about some things. And then the other candidate, there was a podcast out there that just kind of fell in our lap. We didn't, you know, and it was one that we really needed to dig into. It was about her deconstructing her faith and some other things. And so I'm throwing this out there because how deep do we want to dig? I mean, do we want to think about social media activity for the candidates? And the other thing, do we want to look at transcripts? You know, so I'm not sure how involved we want to get into the background check of these guys. And I'm not an expert on social media. I just, you know, troll a couple accounts. So I'm not saying I need to be doing that. But there might be some services that we can, if we think it's important to look at, to do something like that, unless you guys feel like You can do it if you want to do that, but just a couple of things I want to put out there.
Both candidates. So, Brett, I don't know how much you've looked, but I know that I've tried to look, but they both have very little.
Have very what?
So very little.
Yeah.
So maybe they have more if you're their friend, but what I've been able to find is almost nothing.
Same.
So, and it's the modern safety thing, but I don't think it is. I think neither of them have been posting very much. But we could go back deeper, but we'd have to become their friend at that point, I think, and we could probably dig more, but.
If they're smart, they did like me in 2018, went and cleared out everything from
everything.
Yeah, I think a police background check is essential the sooner as possible,
But we have to request that from them.
I think we do. Yeah. We need some authorization from them.
Yeah, I mean, I would just do that ASAP, and because we'll want that before next week.
Yeah.
So, and I think that they have two or three different levels on there. So we should ask Elizabeth tomorrow what the levels are. She may know what the differences are. Because I've been one of the main people doing that because of the children's ministry. We have so much of that.
Okay.
But, and we just pay for the basic one for our members. Like for the children's level, but I think for this they do have other levels that, especially because they're out of state, I think that it's probably good to, and they've been in multiple states.
I'm friends with.
Are you?
Yeah, Jason.
Yay! So now you can search.
That's right. I am too. Yeah, he requested that.
Yeah, I was thinking I've seen it.
Yeah.
So you guys can look. I haven't seen anything, and I don't know that it would. To me, it would be worth hiring a service to help with that, just knowing what I know on them, that there's nothing that smells wrong. And so, I mean, if something was a little off, maybe, but I would think the police background check should uncover anything.
Jason has 1,916 friends.
He is.
Yes, he is.
However, I'm not, I'm not one of those friends.
But good questions.
Some employers do driver's record check. Driving's not critical to this position, so I don't think that's necessary from the state where they live, or you take where have they lived in the last 5 years. And if that's more than one state, then you do the criminal record check in multiple.
Okay.
And you ask for aliases and things. It's all just formalities, not singling anybody out. And then some employers like to get a credit reference, credit check.
Yeah.
And that can be insightful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be.
It probably makes sense. Typically, there's an authorization form for that.
Yeah. So I know our organization does have that as options. I think all three of them. Yeah. And so we just have to, we don't usually request it from everybody, but it costs an extra $10 for each one.
Okay.
So are we in agreement with that? I mean, that makes sense to me. So a credit check and a police background check?
Okay.
There's this 2023 books I've read.
I read a lot.
Yeah.
Creating Community, and Andy Stanley and Bill Willis. Mm-hmm. Warbreaker, Brandon Sanderson. Parenting, Andy Stanley and Sandra Stanley. Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, Tyler Staton. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John Mark Former. Lux, L-U-X. Winchester Hagens. Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, Paul David Tripp. Master Plan of Evangelism.
He said he read 40 this year.
Yeah, he reads
a lot. Pretty long.
You know what? This is, it goes out 33 books.
He's a reader. And it's
and he's throwing it all out there.
Yeah, it says a lot about him.
That's Jason?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we can transition to the children's minister.
Eric's letter.
What's that?
Can we talk about Eric's letter for a second?
Oh, sure.
It was, so I read it this afternoon and I was bothered by it because it wasn't completely truthful. The reason is because he says that he had no pre-judgments on them, but he had already sent us the note about John prior to ever hearing John. And so that made me bothered a little bit because there are preconceived notions when you come into it saying, this guy is very conservative, he's this, this, and this, and this. but you've never met him, you've never seen his life other than maybe one sermon or two sermons on their website. And so there were things that were not completely truthful. So I just want that to be, it almost made me, I have a problem with Eric with interviews because I've been on two committees and he's run them different ways, but it almost made me say, you should just choose John. just in spite, but it's not a good reason.
No.
But it was just one of those things.
Witness. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. So totally.
He leads the witness.
Yeah.
So, but that's, I just felt that that was one thing in the letter that was definitely not completely truthful.
Okay.
Maybe not intentionally misleading,
right.
But just off.
And I just kind of put it in there separate because it was a good summary. And unfortunately, we're getting more of that now, where before everything was on Jason, now it's all Jason and John.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just muddied together, which, you know, you're still getting feedback. It's just harder to compile that thing.
Like our Steve today called me. She's still in the hospital, by the way, as far as an update for her, but she's feeling good enough to have a visitor, she said. So. Hopes to be there only another week. So, but anyway, she said, well, I have it on the phone. She liked Jason better.
Okay.
And so we're taking in things like that. She didn't elaborate a whole lot, but I don't have any kind of scorecard in my head. Like you said, they seem to be running neck and neck, but do we have anything or do we need anything that is actually tabulating or just go by, you know, our overall, the kind of feedback we're getting is fine. I didn't know if I'm accurate that they're.
It's going to be subjective. So you know, I can quantify it as best I can, and I summarized Jason's pretty well, and I don't know if you got that document. So it's a lot of pages, and I'm going to do the same for John's. And then I thought about different ways to put them head to head, and it's just going to be difficult. I think we're just going to have to read both of them and just say they just have strengths and weaknesses, and it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Some people have surprised me that thought John was the stronger candidate. I didn't expect that from them.
Yeah.
Suzanne Kelby, for example.
Oh, really?
But had good reasoning,
yeah.
You know, and such. And other people have surprised me that, you know, we need a younger guy like Jason.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To tell him, you're younger.
Yeah, I know.
John, really?
Yeah. Everybody's been surprised by that.
But that's okay. And, you know,
so now we'll transition to the children's minister position and Steve. And I guess the two questions is, when are we starting to look? When is it going to hire? Because we talked about after the senior minister is on staff, which may be, you know, middle of next year, and then how many hours? Because we talked about a part-time children's minister, but now it sounds like it's a full-time children family minister. And real, so I just wanted your thoughts on what that is and what we're looking for. And
I think it's a decision that we need to really think through a little bit. And Jeff probably can provide a lot of insight on it since he has the job. But just from my perspective, is that I think we really do need a full-time. Jeff has done an outstanding job in terms of making sure the program ministry is strong and vibrant, but he has limited time, right? A full-time person, I would expect him or her to be doing additional things, you know, like getting with the families, you know, in some evenings and networking in the community, being part of a children's ministers community, you know, local and nationally, you know. So I would think that person would be more actively involved in the ministry, things that, you know, I wouldn't expect Jeff to be doing right now. I mean, because we didn't ask him to do those things. We just asked him, hey, you know, hey.
Hold it together.
Yes, yes, and he's done a great job of that. So. I think we have more expectations for a children's minister coming in full time that he or she can contribute. Jeff, I would love to hear what your thoughts are on that.
I think I agree with you, Steve. I think that I do part time, and I'm all about getting things done as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so some things slip through, some things I intentionally leave out. but there's also things that I could do more if I had more time. And that's where, those are the things that, knowing that I work very quick and I work very much about getting things done, is I feel that some things most people are not going to be able to do that fast. And so it's just a completely different thinking, I think. And plus, I'm working on another job that on the side. So.
Full-time job.
So, and that's where that takes my energy level down, I think, too, where maybe they could keep up with what I do, let's say, in my part-time. But there's all those bonus things that they should be doing, I think, and that I don't get with every family. I don't do, and maybe that's, and there's things that Val always tells me I should be doing. So, because she thinks that the children, she's been bothered since we've been here about the children's minister because they don't do what she wants them to do. And so those things that, and now the new one doesn't do it either. So yeah. It's like, he gets an earful every once in a while. And so, but I can convince her I'm only part-time, so, but for a full-time person.
Who's this you're talking about? I missed it.
His like wife. My wife.
Oh, your wife.
Yes. Oh, okay. So she's been bothered. She wasn't bothered so much with the Martins and the Coles. She was bothered with Jeremy. She was bothered with whoever else has been, every other one, and then Jeremiah. And not that she didn't like them, but just that she felt they could do more. Mm-hmm. And so, I have an excuse though. So.
Yeah,
I have to be home being with you. So, but yeah, I think I agree that full time is probably the best. How to make it the best of children and family is another question. I think that you guys are struggling with too, and trying to get that integrated. But I think that Nathan and I have been trying to work to make this. So we'd be calling it next gen, like these things that are intermingling more. So we have the trunk or treat. We have the next gen Christmas that's sort of just all of the whole two groups together. So the youth group and then we have the level 50 game night and all these other things that are really family ministry, trying to get the families involved. So even like the next gen Christmas, it's inviting all the whole family. It's not just saying the kids are going to be there. We don't want all that many kids. So we want the families there too, because they should be part of that. And so that's a whole picture of trying to get that all entangled.
I would suggest when we get the title of the children and family minister, we also make Nathan's the youth and family minister.
Yes. It,
that describes what they will be doing.
Yes, that intermingling of the things together.
And, you know, a lot of ambiguous words were used, and so more could be done, or there's other things I can do, but I don't have in my head what that is. And so you seem to be doing a great job right now, but what is it that isn't getting done? Are there things that need to get done, or there's just things that would be nice to have done? And so what are those things?
The way I think about it at work, so in project language, is like business as usual.
Right.
So I do business as usual.
Right.
I don't do extra things. So I do everything to keep the classes going and to keep our normal events happening. I don't go and meet with families and try to find out what they would be better for them or to help them. I mean, other than just my normal being around people on Sundays. I don't try to make extra events for myself just because I don't have time. I don't meet with local children's ministers to see how they're doing things and try to make our program better than what it was. So those are extra things that, like on the, if you think about it going from business as usual to enhancement kind of things, I'm not trying to enhance our thing so much. I'm trying to just keep it steady. And the problem with steady is that as children progress through steady, you're really going down. So because business as usual, your program is going to crash. Because you're not going up and making it better, you're just little by little, there's more viruses getting into your program and it just dies. And so if you think about it on the technical side of things, you have to always keep on enhancing and upgrading your product to make it better for yourselves as well as for the kids around you.
And you can see that with Nathan. So I think that Nathan is working to do that. And I try to do as much as I can, but I know I can't because I'm trying to keep business as usual.
Yeah. That's a great description there.
I don't understand it. So business as usual sounds good, but there's something more besides that. But what is that something? And that's what I don't know.
I think
upping your game.
But what does that mean?
What
are we not doing that needs to be done?
I think one of the things that maybe, I don't know, because I'm not side by side with Jeff all the time, when you start thinking about the family member aspect of it, is really getting to know the families. You know, he knows the families, you know. Right. But there's some level of intimacy that maybe a children's minister can be involved in. And I think the expectation of parents is that we're not going to overburden Jeff. You know, we're all just trying to maintain. I really want to put this into next gear, but I realize Jeff don't have a capacity for next gear. But when we get that children's minister here, then I can put this thing into next gear. Like, you know, I can expect more engagement from my children's minister, right? And I can lean on him or her more. And I can walk with him or her more in terms of, you know, the formation of my children. Now, one of the important roles of a family children's minister is that he or she begins to really equip parents. They're pouring into parents, equipping them to be the one of the primary formation of their children's spiritual development, right? And so they're doing that regularly, right? I'm not saying Jeff is not nurse. I don't know what Jeff is doing. I'm just saying this is an expectation that I would have from a children's minister. I'm not having the expectation from Jeff right now. I just want him to maintain,
right.
You know? And so I think parents on some levels are just accepting the maintenance because they realize that's what the phase we're in. They're gonna want more.
What would that more be?
I think I described it a couple times.
But, more family events where the whole family comes, not just focused on the kids. Okay. The parenting teaching, practical things and spiritual things. And, you know, how do you create a spiritual home? What's a reasonable, you know, prayer life for a family of 4-year-old kids or versus teens or something? Those kind of
visiting
education, book recommendations when families are facing something. I expect a family minister, children and family, to be able to say, here's a book or two that you could take a look at. These might help you. Or to create mentor families where you've got some family dealing with something. I know this family and that family that have been through that, or even if they're empty nest, they had that when their kids were young. And just the ability to network families so that's what I see as the difference between a children's minister and a children and family minister.
Yeah. And it's
to the extent, and that's fluid. I mean, these things aren't 4 of these a year and 3 of these a year. It's just what's the need and the ebb and flow of the body that's here and the people that come in.
That's helpful because, I think that's helping me get a picture and you know, what it would look like, what would be different. And so that kind of helps. And again, you know, when I had kids, the last thing I wanted was another school program to go to. And I know that before, Jeremiah would have a lot of programs up here. And, you know, sometimes nobody would show, sometimes you get one family to show. And, you know, a lot of times families just say, I got too much going on. So if we're just talking about another school program, you know, is that what they need? But if it's, you know, walking beside them, if that's what they need, but then that makes sense, but that takes a special person. That's a different person. Yeah. That's, you know, like more like school counselor than a...
Well, if you look at the curriculum, I did look at the curriculum of... ACU, and there is a lot of emphasis on family ministry in the curriculum. So here's a 400-level course. It's called Children and Family Ministry in the curriculum. So this course will examine theological foundations of children's ministry, as well as give attention to the organization and administration of children and family ministry. Then if you look at, they have other courses that are in the core. There's 3 courses here, and you've got to select 2 of them. One is Introduction to Family Studies, the other is Children's Psychology, and the second one is Families and Society. So there's a lot of emphasis in their curriculum on how to be a partner with families, you know. And so I think students that are graduating now are getting that training, they have the expectation that's going to be part of their role. You know, they may be green at it, but they still know that that's something that they got to develop, that skill set and that resourcefulness, and to be a family minister. Then I think the other thing is that when they're graduating, they're expecting something, part of their role to be something with family, because they're getting the training. So they know that that's going to be part of their role. And I think one of the things that we probably can do better when we're interviewing is talk more about that part of the role, you know, talk more about, hey, how we see this part being part of the role. And we didn't do a whole lot of that with Jeremiah. He brought it up a little bit, right? And we didn't do a whole lot of it. And I was really behind the curveball, but as he was talking about it, in my mind, I was like, wait a minute, that's your responsibility, not, you know. So, but he was talking about empowering parents, equipping parents to do the, you know, to take on this role. And I think I would expect candidates now to have that mindset based on what the training that they're getting and education they're getting in the children's ministry.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's just been described about ministry is the part that's hard to understand unless you're in ministry. And that's one thing when I go to NCYM and I talk to youth ministers, I tell them, just don't expect your elders to understand ministry, because they don't. And I've said it before here. And because it's even me being outside of ministry now, I don't understand all that Nathan does. And I don't have to. I don't need to. And I'm there to support him and to encourage him. And, you know, we get together. And he might think I understand, but I don't. You know, it's, and just every minister, they come in to work that day and they're thinking, what do I need to create new today? Just it's a constant to be relevant to for those in your church and those that you're ministering to. And it's that's kind of one of a really hard part of ministry, when you have that pressure constantly. And I think what they described was a really good, you know, and the ministers that are stale are the ones that are, what was the term you used?
Business as usual.
Okay. Say it again.
Business as usual.
Yeah, business as usual. I love the way you described it. That was really good. And the business as usual ministers, they get pretty stale and end up looking for other jobs a lot. And it's, yeah.
See, I go back to, we have elders and ministers, and we have this whole, you know, culture that, how did the early church do this, you know, the first 300 years, mm-hmm. you know, without a Bible?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's spirituality. If you're pouring Jesus into these kids, I don't care who's doing that, you know, if they're getting the stories, and what I see is the stories of, you know, the topical ones are always there, but, you know, when's the last time anybody ever heard about the story of Elisha, you know, being teased by the children and the bears come out and eat him? I mean, there's stuff in there that, you know, it's in the Bible. But in my situation, when I was about 11, 10 years old, we had a guy, we called him an evangelist. And, you know, he would call up and say, hey, Brad, I'm going to pick you up at, 6 o'clock, and you and 3-4 guys, we're going to go to an AA meeting. I want you to understand what, you know, people are doing.
Wow.
And I still remember that.
Yeah.
There were people like Charlie White who would say, it's Sunday afternoon and there's some widows that need refrigerators, and they live on the third floor, and we're going to go move those refrigerators for them. And I'll be there at 2 o'clock. And, you know, to me, it's, again, the priesthood of all believers. It's not just the job of, you know, the preacher and the elders and whatever. It's every person in the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And I just want to keep reminding people that we have gifts for the upbuilding of the church. And people don't even know what their gifts are. And 20% is doing what, you know, the other 80% isn't. And to me, that needs to be some of the message that I think people need to hear. So I don't want to get too hung up on, are they going to be, you know, lead ministers or, you know, senior ministers and all this other stuff. You know, if you're a minister, it just means that you're one person in the body of Christ and you're getting paid for it while others, you know, don't get paid for it, but we're all doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that has to be the premise that I see in the New Testament. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just call somebody out based on what your story made me think of somebody, and David Blackford. So the food pantry had like 900 pounds of food came in last week, and so Barb needed some help. And so we said, David, would you be interested? He said, yeah, I think I can do that. He drove his car up here. And I was getting a little worried because I thought it wasn't going to be enough people to help him. But a couple of people showed up. And so I said, David, how did it go? He said, yeah, he said, I can do that again. So, you know, so just to your point, just inviting people to be a part of the ministry in different ways. And he stepped up.
It's impactful.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And that's a big part of leadership, yes, is inviting others,
yes,
to join us.
Yes.
Yeah, they want to. You know, for, you know, that age and others, it's, you know, you sit in church on Sunday and it's all theory. And we keep saying, David, no, it's not theory. And, you know, that's why you do stuff, you go to the food pantries and stuff, and then, you know, people are living lives, and mm-hmm. so life is hard, and mm-hmm. this is why your faith matters. Mm-hmm. So appreciate you doing that.
Oh, man, it was Sam said, yes.
Yeah. So on the children, so looking to start June or July, sometime after the senior minister takes his position, correct?
Yeah, the team is positioned to get started pretty quickly. As a matter of fact, we might have some opportunities to go to Lipscomb just to talk with some students. We put that out there. We don't know if we'll be invited or not, but a student that might be graduating in May, June.
Well, I'll be at NCYM, and that's where there'll be a bunch of children's ministers there.
Okay.
Those looking for jobs and then those that are in school, too.
Yeah.
So if you give me some materials to pick with me in January.
Okay.
I think, you know, we don't have to wait till the start date to reenact our search. I just think whoever gets hired needs input and can be involved in an interview.
Yes.
And they may know somebody very well.
During the key weekend, and someone's visiting on site, that kind of thing.
Yes, I agree with that.
And if we have somebody that's already lined up, so we know that, say, May 28th is when the new lead minister's starting, I'm sure Nathan and I and Steve can definitely handle, and maybe the other Steve can handle being that lead for them for a month or 2 months as the person gets ready. But I think that it was the indefinite time frame that made it where we don't really want to hire somebody to take the children's ministry and they have no leader for we don't know how long. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if we know, hey, this is the day, we could say, hey, you could start on April 1st or mm-hmm. because there's things in the summer that they have to get ready. So if they were to come on June 1st, they're missing BBS.
Yeah.
They may show up for the days, but they're not part of it, not because they'll be late.
But you won't miss it.
Yeah, I will not miss it. But I'm leaving town as soon as it's done. So, but I mean, that's that whole picture that really, if it's indefinite, you don't really want to hire somebody. Mm. If you have a definite time frame, you could hire it, and we could tag team it of leading that person, because they're going to need mentoring to begin with, just getting used to the church, just like the new preacher will need.
Yeah. So what's the answer? What are you saying?
I'm saying we could, as soon as we put in place a candidate, or not really even a candidate, we switch it to, we have hired a person, and we know the time frame that they're going to do it, we just start.
Okay.
So we could start January 1st or something, or even before.
And then hours. I'm hearing we need part-time and we'd like full-time, or what are we saying for hours?
I would say full-time. Yeah. I would say full-time partly because of insurance.
And it'd be hard to
thing too is,
go out and pursue somebody to come here that's part-time. It would kind of be
stuck to everybody in town.
Yeah. So that would be a difficult thing to do is to...
I'm not saying how difficult it is. I'm just saying what do we need and what is it we're looking for. So,
I would definitely say full-time is probably what we need. And that makes it better for them to a point. They know that they have a place where they can be full-time. Because if they're only part-time, I mean, they're going to have to find another job. Whether or not we can provide them insurance as part-time is another question, too. So this way they know they have insurance, they have whatever they need from us. And so.
Okay, and do we have a job description for the family minister part of this? I know we do for the children's minister part.
It's just a few little things. It's a work in progress, but it's pretty much out there in terms of what it is. I think the only tweak is that there's going to be more wording in terms of your role of family formation, you know, being part of that whole equipping parents. Okay. So.
Add that. And then I don't know how much time we need to spend on the other stuff, but the 2025 budget, Dave, I don't know if there's anything for you to share with us tonight before Sunday.
Yeah, the Finance Committee met and we talked through a draft for the new year. And so I wanted you guys to hear the highlights of that. And so if there's anything you wanted to chime in about or that didn't sound right, this is a good time because we're getting pretty close to
to cut all the other stuff.
So, this year our giving is tracking behind about $100,000 to this point of the year.
Tracking behind what? Budget or last year's giving?
Between the budget. We made a $100,000 pledge and payment to the Marseille project. And so, with those things, we're still projecting a deficit financially through the end of the year of only $40,000. So that's a very positive place given that context. It's still a deficit, but...
deficit cash.
Yes. I put in the budget for the new year, still full-time lead minister and full-time children and family minister. 4% raises for the staff.
What's COLA?
And let's see, and if we ask for a 5% increase from actual from the congregation in their giving, then we'll be very close to break even for the new year. There's some fine tuning to be done. The first draft was a little bit positive, but
so I think 5% for the cash given collected
from the
this
actual
year.
Projected okay. giving. Can we ask the congregation for a 5% increase to do these things? And, this year the projection is better than $200,000 cash deficit because Jeff has retired. We haven't had Jeremiah all year. We're saving various money in different categories here and there, much like the year before. And we've had some pretty robust interest income compared to previous years with our reserves. And so
have we stopped making accelerated mortgage payments?
Yeah, we stopped that with COVID. When our giving started to really drop off, that was a place that we cut.
But we only owe less than $400,000, right?
Yes.
That's amazing.
That mortgage will be up for renewal in September of 25, and we'll owe $330,000 at that time. Yeah. But we're not going to get our 3.5% interest rate right now. And so those are our headwinds for the new year. It doesn't sound too bad. What do you guys think about asking for a 5% increase from the body?
What, with the Department of Labor rules, what did you decide on all that?
A judge has thrown those out.
Okay.
And so that salary versus hourly line doesn't exist and doesn't change from what it's been for the last several years. So that doesn't impact us, turns out. And it doesn't, you know, look like that's going to get reinstated or anything that has ended. The new Missouri minimum wage and sick leave constitutional amendment is going to impact us a little bit. Janitorial staff, the summer interns, some recalculations, but not, you know, maybe another $1,000. But the sick leave, we need to provide staff a certain ratio of sick leave, and we've been under that threshold, so.
What would it be for a full-time person? How many days a year?
8.5.
Okay,
wow. Basically. And so.
I'm hoping that gets
appealed. And ratio accordingly proportionate for half-time people. So, part-time people.
Part-time you even get?
Even part-time, it's usually prorated. Sick leave.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Don't have to do vacation for them, but yeah. And so that's a formula that Elizabeth knows we need to put in place mm-hmm. and start accumulating that. Mm-hmm. Technically, it doesn't go into effect till May 1st.
So it means I have to stay on until May 1st to be able to get sick leaves?
Yeah. You start accumulating sick leaves.
Yeah. We're never going to get this.
So once you work 30 hours after May 1st, you get 1 hour of sick leave.
Yeah. Is there a law that if
don't get a call.
If you don't take it, you have to be paid it out?
No.
Okay, good.
In fact, it specifically avoids that. Yes. It does not have to be paid out on mm-hmm. termination. Oh, yeah. And it doesn't have to be, there are limits on how much can roll over, or you can be more generous and let it roll over and build up, which is the easy way to do it.
Yeah.
It's not such a robust formula that's unaffordable. So, anyway, using the local school districts and dropping out the outliers and such, for the lead minister candidates, they both have master's degrees. One's got 11 years experience, John, and Jason has 10. And so a teacher in Kirkwood and Webster, it's almost identical. John would have a $66,000 salary and Jason would have 64. And so I budgeted, I think, 68, so that we've got whoever we hire, and we'll need, once we make a decision about who to offer, we'll need to settle on what that's gonna be. But there's not very much difference between the candidates financially.
What do we do? I know I would hate for either one come here and having to take less. We offer them less than what they're making now. Is that going to be part of the negotiating?
Do we even know that?
Because they're both in Bible Belt.
Yeah. Well, I think the approach we need to take is what can we afford in this community? Mm-hmm. And that's what we offer. And if there's a little give and take and different reasons for it, then we talk. But, you know, if somebody's making 80 grand now, I don't see us hiring mm-hmm. them if that's what their requirement is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I assume Knoxville is much lower on the thing, but Houston may be higher. So just
I location don't know what that's going to be.
I mean, both of these guys. He said, I think, didn't he say at one point he hadn't gotten a raise since he's been there?
Yeah, that's what John said.
And he doesn't get health insurance.
Brian is sure. His wife's insurance. I can't imagine he's highly paid. Right.
And so, Dave, what about moving? Is that in your budget? We were talking about maybe $5,000 or something to help him better.
Yeah, the Ethan Laster memorandum outlines all those details,
so that's
and I think
your
we
budget.
Keep that in place. Okay. And so it's a $5,000 actual reimbursement of actual expenses, not just a check. Do with it what you want, but up to that limit is what I recommend. It's what sounds reasonable to me. So
they both have 10 years in ministry experience.
Mm-hmm. That's what I saw on the resumes.
I don't remember them being in ministry that long, because if you remember, my question was about gaps. And my question was, so because they put on their things that when they weren't actually hired by an actual church. Well, John especially had stuff on there from whenever he was just a member of a church, sort of like us to a point, being in roles. Okay. So it'd be interesting to see when they finished their master's degrees and when they were actually working as ministers. Because I don't remember either of them being that long. It's okay. I mean, it's not going to make a lot of difference, 5 years or 10 years, I don't think. It's about 5,000-ish, probably 10. 10 at the most.
A couple thousand a year.
Yeah.
Type
so,
thing.
But that's the only thing that it'd be interesting to go back and look at how much they actually spent in ministry versus.
Yeah, that would be good to fine tune once we consider the offer that we want to make.
Yep.
And the level for a youth minister and then for a pulpit minister, they're the same?
The children and family minister, I put in a budget of $43,000.
Well, no, I mean, just with a level, like the same as what a teacher would make? Is that?
Oh, I see. Well, yes, that's the formula I used is teacher salary, knowing that we're likely to hire a children and family minister with very little actual experience.
Yeah.
And so that creates quite a gap here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess my thoughts are the pulpit minister, and this, like when we're mid-county, Dale made about 10% more than me, and I was good with that. He was at a level that was a little more...
more responsibility.
Well, for him having to preach every Sunday, that was worth it for me.
Yeah.
But it's almost like a principle. Just thoughts out there.
Especially if one of them, if the preacher is the leader for that candidate, or for the, because in reality, based on the structure that Brett had come up with, was Steve was over the janitorial and the secretarial staff, and the lead minister would be over the youth minister and the children's minister. So that it'd be really interesting to be doing the reviews and hey, you get a 5% increase this year, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now you make more than I do. So, but those kinds of things become very odd because of just the extra responsibilities that he has.
And then also just basically the supply and demand. Just thoughts. I don't have an answer, but just thinking about our ministers, and they're harder to come by, and making it attractive to them. I know when I went from youth ministry to executive minister, I talked to Earnhardt. I said, well, what should I do here? And for me, first of all, I was excited that I didn't have to leave ministry and go into insurance selling. So, and I actually took, he said, hey, you should be about 10% more if you're going from one job to another. But mine was exactly the same. And I was okay with that because I wasn't having to sell insurance. But, I've not been in the business world, but going from one job to another, you would expect that when you do that, you would get a raise.
If you're growing responsibilities, that's a fair assessment, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. So, or how bad somebody wanted them, too. That's part of it.
Yeah. I took a job pay cut 9 years into my career to get out of overly burdensome work environment and a more family-friendly one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great move.
Right.
No, that's like with John, I could see that being something he would almost be willing to take a pay cut to be out of the church that he's at. So.
But then both of them have wives that work or will be working. Mm-hmm. Too. So just some thoughts I had with all that. So.
Oh, and she'll have a PhD. If she starts teaching, she'll make more than him.
Yeah.
Yes, she may make more than him right now.
Yeah.
Campus minister.
But it's a, yeah.
Anyway. So anyway, I was real happy with how that first draft looked. And so we'll keep fine-tuning it and settle on some of these decisions.
And again, it's not how much your salary is. The whole package is what makes it really attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of places don't help with insurance. Mm-hmm. And a lot of ministries, they don't help with insurance. They don't help with retirement. So. Again, that's what makes it pretty attractive.
Good job. Okay. Looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah. You do a great job with all that stuff.
We're not muscling the eye.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, again, I don't know that we need to spend time yet talking about the 2025 calendar or hospitality. I know it's just something that we need to eventually get to, and not that we got to deal with that tonight, but... I know you guys had a pretty good draft on the calendar. I don't know if you finalized it yet.
We got the calendar finalized in terms of activities, but the staff did a great job on it. The grant is actually taking a run at it in terms of design. The activities won't change. The design might change a little bit. So you guys can look at this and have any comments about.
So there's a few activities that did change from the list that you sent out.
Okay.
Just because of
people changing things. I know the Variety Show is one of them, and some of Eric's things got switched
The around. Dates moved on those. I mean, they still, they were, I think, may have been on the calendar, but they moved dates on them a little bit.
And one thing for the Elders Conference, it was originally February 1st, but we had to change it to February 8th. So if you have that on
that
your
needs
calendar.
To be, that's not on here.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Because it's not really a church event, I guess. I
don't but know. It should be on.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, so that's the question, because the last year's was not.
Okay.
So, because it was something that...
I think it should be on the calendar, because that means you can't use that space.
Because we're going to have it here. We host those, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yes, that should be
on. And can we also... I was telling Don coming here, I've talked to several other churches, and I forgot to talk to us about donating $300 to help with it.
To the
Elders Conference.
Okay.
And
we did something last year, right?
Yeah, right. $500 last year. This year, we think we can do it for $300.
Bargain.
Yeah, okay. That's right. And then it'll cost $15 per person.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's the same night, or the same day as the father-daughter date night.
Yeah.
But it will actually be more help to have it there, because then we won't have to put away all the tables.
I thought you said it was the first, right?
It was the first, now it's the eighth.
Yeah, because on the other one, the original calendar was the first.
Yeah. And we have Jim Martin coming in. He'll be great. Just one. I think last year the Abilene overdid it, bringing four people in.
Thank you, Steve. So we'll look at this. And then hospitality.
Wives. Included event, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. The which event was last year?
The Elders.
Yeah.
It's not on here. Okay. It'll
be the 8th December.
Yeah, I saw that.
The only other thing is hospitality, and that's kind of a bigger topic that maybe we want to spend more than 5 or 10 minutes on. So,
yeah. And one thing, just from reading the thing, well, that was one thing I was... If we don't do this, I was going to preach on January 5th, starting a series on standing firm. And I was going to talk about hospitality as, you know, just building community and building stronger relationships with each other. And hospitality can help encourage that. And not as much it being a program, I sense with the reading your what you put there, not a program of the elders, you know. I think we talked about maybe doing some hosting at our home, some things, but just really encouraging people to do it, and not even a program, but just letting people, just encouraging people to be hospitable, having people in their homes more.
Right, and my thought was, is we should lead by example.
Yes.
And that we, as elders, should say this is something we believe in, and we commit to, like, you know, once a quarter, twice a quarter, having people in our homes or taking people out to lunch or something like that. So as elders, we will do these things.
Yeah.
And you know, how that shapes, I think we can talk about it, but I do think we need to say, in my mind, it's like, you know, twice a quarter we commit to meeting with so many families or something like that, or at least reaching out and having somebody in our houses or taking them out to lunch. So anyway, but I'm on board with you on that.
I think I may have mentioned something about that in one of my announcements, that the elders were looking at hospitality, and a couple people were really excited about the whole idea. Mm-hmm. Just us thinking about it and wanting to be a part of it. So I think once we decide on what that's going to look like, I think folks are going to get behind it.
Great. So yeah, we can flesh that out more later. So we'll meet here Saturday at 8 a.m. Good. We'll close out a prayer, but I've been talking with Barb Eichley, both emailing back and forth the past couple of days. So she wasn't at church Sunday. Mm-hmm. Hey, Barb, I'm worried. You weren't here, and you know, I heard you getting bullied on Facebook. And she goes, Brett, you know, I'm not feeling well. I got sick over Thanksgiving like a lot of people. And I wouldn't say it's bullying, it's just, you know, just having some disagreements and you know, more frustration. And so we're talking back and forth, and, you know, she says, praying for these sisters, and hopefully they're praying for me. And so, you know, so she is frustrated, but it's not like, you know, it's not like the end of the world for her. And so I'm just, you know, just emailing her back and forth. So just kind of a heads up that I've been talking with her, and, you know, Facebook is like junior high all over again. And you know, you just have to have thick skin, and she's, you know, she's dealing with it.
Just
well.
Tell her to suck it up.
Yeah. You know, rub some dirt on it.
Looks like she took it off. Or no.
It was still up last night.
No, here it is. Yeah. Okay, it's still on. And this same thing happened 4 years ago when she...
Oh, with, back with Trump again?
Or maybe it was 8 years ago. It happened again in one election. Well, yeah, 8 years ago they weren't here. Yeah. Where she got her feelings hurt for something she put on some people from church. They disagreed on some things.
Yeah.
So it happened then also, and she, at that point, she had talked about leaving. Yeah. But they worked it out.
Yeah.
So.
A quick note, I saw in Kaylin's stuff this afternoon that Ethel Kennedy was asking for prayers, and also sounded like she and Fred were having a problem.
Oh, I didn't see that. Didn't.
Yeah.
I was thinking
it's been a constant, I think.
Because Fred was here Sunday.
Yeah, he was. He was in a good mood, even. I mean, not that. I mean, Fred and Ethel.
Okay.
Yeah, I did not.
I'm just wondering, can CFS help with, you know, doing something there? Or?
I don't know. I'm not the executive director anymore.
Well, I mean,
I'm sure they could, yeah.
It's always that, yeah.
No, so, yeah, so it's not actually, yeah, so her note was just praying for the family, but specifically about little Fred.
Yeah.
So he's a senior. So he's, and so she's hoping that he gets some kind of scholarship or something to get in to the university. So it says, please pray for my family, my marriage, that we allow God to lead us. Pray that little Fred receives some scholarship to help pay for college. Thank you. Yeah. So not really specific about any problems, just for their marriage, I think, just in general. Because I've not heard anything from them recently that was that direction, but I talked to Fred on Sunday. But
does every school have the A-plus program?
Yes.
It's a Missouri
program.
Yeah. Okay, and but that's just such a good program, man.
But getting people to do that is because you have to do some church.
60 hours of tutoring.
Yes,
it's really not.
It's not a lot.
But yeah.
But it's them doing it because neither of my two did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Sophie did it, but she didn't.
Yeah.
Apply for it.
But I need to. I wanted to talk to Izzy about that too. I know she wants to go to Harding.
Yeah, she's scheduled. She's doing that. She's actually going to be here.
Oh, good.
Doing their community service event during the beginning of January.
Okay.
End of December. Yeah.
Who else are seniors besides you and Fred Jr.? Do you guys know?
That is it. I think that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Unusual.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for coming. You know, again,
I want to go back to the Barb thing. Yeah. I think we have to understand, and as elders, there are people that are really hurting from the political situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it, but I can empathize with them. And I think that is what brought on this stuff with Barb Eichle. And as I read through it, I'm like, okay, who's at fault here? I don't know, you know, and I really don't know. She put this thing on here about King David. You know, I saw that before that. I'm like, huh, okay, and just went on. Other people took it much deeper than that. There's others here that are just hurt deeply by it and are very frightened by it. That I think we have to understand in dealing with some of them with that. And it's, again, you know, I think you put in there all the different things in there, like if I met with them, I wouldn't know what to do. Yeah, it would just be okay.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything for us to do except encourage them to stay.
Yeah,
I really felt like it was good that Betty was trying to stick up for her. I think it's fine for people to disagree and say that they disagree. You know,
we
don't want them to be talking about that church. We can help it, but like it's kind of almost the same thing when you're on Facebook because your church friends see it. It definitely felt like people just got defensive and
So Betty was trying to stick up for Barb, and then Beth was trying to stick up for Joyce, and then it was just like, what?
I really thought Beth's comments were very mild.
Yeah, I did too.
I will point out that Barb was right in that she was being condescending.
Okay.
Like the way she, but because I know I spent a lot of time as in college perfecting the I'm going to act really nice, but I'm going to cut you.
Okay.
I'm going to question your intelligence. I'm going to question how informed you are. I'm going to question your sincerity, but I'm going to do it in a loving way. But like, so where you can't even block it, you know, you can't. And I don't think that like Beth's hateful. I think she's also feeling defensive about the whole Trump situation. So I don't think anything for us to do. I think we just encourage people to be kind to each other, mm-hmm. and specifically. Like I don't think you'd be any benefit from trying to reprimand anyone or suggest anything different at all.
I don't know how much this comes into play, but the Mayberries haven't attended for a little bit, and they're looking a little bit. I don't know if you got any more insight from talking to Todd, Don.
No, just that I think they, I guess they said that they had felt it wasn't this incident at all. They said maybe sort of sealed some of the things that they've been thinking for a while. Were they at the right place based on what they feel like is important in their lives to really reflect Jesus? And they, you know, them, they've always felt they wanted to be in the inner city. Mm-hmm. They want to be working with people that are oppressed, the people that are fighting for life, and and they just want to now see if there's a place that might fit better for their desires to serve. So he's going to continue to come on Friday mornings, and he said I don't have any bitterness or anything. He said I just feel like maybe there's a better fit.
So I feel like our congregation has really embraced the Taylor family and the Cannon family Tora, Jordan's really plugging into the youth group well, I think.
Yeah.
And so that dynamic is going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. And I think if we just keep embracing them and being there for them, you know, then things can play out however they're going to play out. But I've been pleased with all of the encouragement they get and support they get with the twins coming and things.
I think they collected almost $600 yesterday.
What's that?
Collected almost $600 for the group gift for the for the
I talked to Michael yesterday about the van, some issues with that. He said that
the uncle isn't quite a straightforward individual. And I had direct conversations with Michael about that, and we decided to go forward, and he's getting bit a little bit, but it's going to be workable. He does have the van, and it doesn't pass inspection, but it doesn't seem like it needs very much too. And so those that contributed to help purchase that van, there's a little extra money for repairs, and been talking to him about insurance and all those things. So
is there enough that's
forward.
Been collected
to, what's that?
To take care of the things that need to be done? Do you have enough to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So far. He's having Steger double check the inspection.
Okay.
And going to.
Yeah.
And so that should happen this week, hopefully.
Good.
Get it
good.
In. That'll be a good next opinion.
Yeah.
So.
So real quick, I guess I just have a little bit different perspective on what's going on with Barb and a couple of members. And I feel like I don't want to sit on my hands with that. And so I'm attempting to bring them all together, just have a conversation, you know, so that they can at least have the time to feel like they've been heard very respectfully, lovingly, you know, so that, because sometimes on Facebook when you're writing stuff, it's not the best way to reconcile or to even have a good conversation. And so I don't know how effective I'm going to be in that, but that's what I'm attempting to do. I want you guys to know that, just so that we can maybe give them an opportunity to sit in the same space.
Just have to understand each other,
yes,
would be a big thing.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
But hopefully not to talk about the political thing, because that's not going to, there's no good end to that.
Just going to keep.
Not to talk specifically about the political thing, but talk specifically about what happened with that, you know, with their difference of opinions. Yeah. I think so that they can be heard.
Yeah.
So I was debating whether I say anything or not. So I will say something, not about this necessarily, but about the whole political piece. I lived in Europe for 9 years. I spent lots of time not seeing American things. I come back and I see lots of American things. The interesting thing is I get to preach at High Ridge, and one of the things I say something and it's like, you're not a Christian. I'm like, what? Why am I not a Christian? Because I spoke against the United States of America. Mm. Because we have too much ingrained in us about America that we are more almost, America is more our God at times, mm-hmm, than Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not our Savior. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that everything in all the elections tend to push, this is the Savior. This is the one that's going to fix everything. Mm-hmm. This is the one that's going to fix everything. Mm-hmm. And whenever you get down to it, neither of them will do anything to fix anything.
Yeah.
They're only going to bring bigger divide. The only thing that we can save or be saved from is with Jesus. And that's where this whole conversation goes around. To a point, if Barb would have not posted something, that would have been something different. Mm-hmm. Because in reality, if you would have saw her on election day, she had a nice t-shirt on. I don't know if anybody was here, but it said Jesus for president. That is what we should be proclaiming.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about Harris winning, it's not about Biden winning, it's not about Trump, it's not about anybody. None of them can put them where they need to be at. Mm-hmm. They're not going to save them. They're not going to put them, mm-hmm, in a better state of mind, because they're not about that.
Yeah.
And Biden showed it today, mm-hmm, Trump shows it every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, Harris, and that's where we have to realize that this reconciliation has to get down to, it's not about one party or the other. Mm-hmm. It's about who we are, mm-hmm, that is living in the grace of Jesus. And that's where we struggle.
I agree with that. And I think that's why I want to have that conversation, because what binds us together is not the politics.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here for the politics. We're here because of what happened on the cross, right? Mm-hmm. We're here because we believe that Jesus shed his blood for us, and that we as Christians, we are in his, should be his image bearers. And so if the politics get in the way of that, that's the problem. Politics shouldn't get in the way of that. We're brothers and sisters. And whatever happens beyond all of that, it shouldn't supersede, it shouldn't cause division. That's only the enemy is causing the division. Mm-hmm. You know? So we should not let that cause division. We should be able to talk and have conversations regardless of how we feel politically. And so that's why I think having a conversation, that's my goal in having a conversation, is to remind one another that, hey, we're brothers and sisters in Christ first. And that's the highest calling that we have in this world.
And our faith will lean us towards one party or another.
Mm-hmm.
And our faith, and there's people with strong faith that are lean towards Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people strong faith to lean towards Republican.
Mm-hmm.
It's our thinking is both of those are right.
Mm-hmm.
They're not wrong. And we just have to understand that, you know, our thinking, mm-hmm,
should be Jesus, and our faith motivate us to vote.
I would say that our faith should not motivate us to vote for anything, well, really, no. In reality. So I'm
black
not...
Black pill, that's what that is.
What?
The black pill.
Yeah, so I mean, you're sort of, in reality, it should require us to action. And some people may decide that voting is their action. Mm-hmm. But that is not something that I feel as being a truth. Because for my action, based on my faith, is not to vote for either of those
right.
candidates. So it's something completely different.
But your faith and so, motivates you to do something.
No,
I
did nothing. My faith motivated me to do nothing.
Exactly. So that was your faith that told you to do that. And so some people's faith, I mean, my faith motivated me to vote for my wife because I couldn't vote for either one of them. But I tried to process it in a spiritual way. I couldn't come up with, but some people with their faith will go one way or another. Yeah. And I think we have to recognize that. Mm-hmm. So
I just want to say, when I came to church here, that one of the things that I loved about this church was when I started becoming like aware of politics around 2015, and the politics, they try and demonize the other side. Mm-hmm. They try and make you feel like they show you the most extreme and the worst example of the worst things that the other side does, and demonizes them. And for me, it was like a breath of fresh air to say, oh yeah, that's right. People who are different than me are Christians too, and it's possible. Mm-hmm. And it kind of opened my eyes, and I'm like, that's medicine I need. Mm-hmm. Or else I got to step away from politics, because if you're getting all this, hey, you need to get the love in there too. You need to mm-hmm. see the good. You need to see the good in people that are thinking differently than you.
God is still on the throne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God is still sovereign. Mm-hmm. And if we believe that, I think I can give thanks that we live in a democratic society, that everybody can go to the poll or not go to the poll and vote how they want to vote. And we live with that, you know, for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And we try to honor our government officials and our governments and do what, you know, we're good citizens because we love Jesus. Mm-hmm. But realizing God is on that throne and he is sovereign. I mean, I'm thankful for a democratic society, and more than 50% or 50% of our vote determined the winner of the election. So for the next 4 years, we're going to...
Well, what's funny is you say we're democratic, and the truth is we're a republic constitutionally. And there's a huge difference. Democratic, you know, comes from the Greek. And it means that basically the majority rules, period. But our situation is we have a constitution that restrains and says you have the ability to have the right to life, liberty, and justice. And, you know, people don't even understand our own situation. They talk about it, but, you know, they don't understand it.
But we go to the polls and we elect an official.
Yeah.
By popular vote, you know. Mm-hmm. And
but you still got the, you know, you say the popular vote, but, you know.
The electoral vote.
The electoral college is what does that. Again, it was a restraint to make sure that, you know, people were protected. So,
Yeah.
But I keep saying, you know, when we come to church, we should use, you know, the Bible as our source of, you know, things that we want to talk about, as opposed to keep the politics out of the church and you know, tell people we're brothers and sisters and, you know, we could all get along. Yeah. But Satan's going to bite us every chance he gets. Mm-hmm. And Steve, if you want to take that on, I admire your willingness to do so. But in my experience, if they don't see the ability that they have to, you know, say to each other, you know, I love you, you're wasting your time.
Well, I think they do.
I do too.
And I think together, I think with they get to do that.
Yeah.
And they can
I think
work
the
beyond.
Point is not to have people air their grievances or be heard. You know, here's why I'm right and you're wrong. you know, because that's not going to go anywhere. And it's just, you know, I've got my opinions, you've got your opinions, but I love you. And if that's the point of it, I think that would work. And,
yeah.
and there's lots of things I wish weren't in the Bible. And so one is, so our Lord in Sermon on the Mount said, if you go to the altar and your brother's got something against you, and he's not saying who's at fault. He said, you know, don't go to the altar. And that is a hard thing. And I think, as an elder, I think that's what we need to encourage people. Listen, you know, a lot of people are fighting about a lot of stuff. You know, we don't care as a church, but, you know, I don't know what's eating you. You know, everybody gets eaten by different things, and you got to work that out. And you know, no matter what that is, and you know, we're not to say who's right or wrong. It's, and Christ didn't say, figure out who's right or wrong. It's just, you got to deal with it. So, as long as they're not there to try to, you know, make their point, I think it'll be good.
Yeah. Sometimes Barnabas and Paul couldn't agree on John Mark, and they had to separate. And I look at people that, you know, have left here, and it hurts. You know, we love people, and we want them to be here, and they're saying, well, they're not satisfied with what we have here. But all you can say is, God bless you, and, you know, you're still my brother and sister, and, you know, it's not about, you know, the things maybe that you're looking for are somewhere where you'll be happier, and if that's what it takes, you know.
You know, I think if we think about Paul and Barnabas, it appears that they did reconcile later, you know, so.
Paul said, bring John Mark back to
bring John Mark.
At least John Mark and him reconciled.
Yeah.
Barnabas and him never were back together. So it's sort of
that we know.
Yeah, that we know. Yeah, it's sort of one of those odd things that at least part of it got resolved.
Yes.
All right, let me close in a prayer.
Okay.
Lord, again, thank you for this time. And again, just the discussion we had at the end of this, we just lack so much wisdom, and we just want to throw it on you. And Father, there's so much contention. There's so many things we can fight about. And I just pray that we love each other as brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. and not stand on our rights, but really freely give. And Father, just to understand that we can be so petty, and yet you hung on a cross, and your Son gave us everything, and I didn't deserve any of that. And Father, I just pray that we learn to turn the other cheek, even when it's our own brother striking us. And, mm-hmm. But Father, that we are willing to talk to that brother. And Father, I just pray that we have communication in this body, and that we talk to one another. And sometimes we do things just out of ignorance. We don't understand how it hurts the other person. But I pray that we're open with one another. I do pray for this body, Father. And Father, in so many ways that, you know, we are weak and immature, but I know that's your body everywhere. And we just need your love and your Holy Spirit, and just to lean more and more on your grace and your goodness, just to know how weak we are and just how tainted we are without being clothed in your Son and your blood. Be with us this week and guide us as we try to find someone to help us minister in this community to this body. You know, be with us as we try to have wisdom to lead these people. And Father, you know, like we've said, we just get busy in so many things, but there's really not that much that's important. And it's just giving our all to you. And again, that we don't seek the easy thing, but to seek to do your will, and that we seek to make an impact in this community, and willing to do hard and dirty things if that's what your will is. Be with us this week and help us to have joy in our work and in our walk. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.